Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to today's broadcast of Connecting Faith. It's always a pleasure to have you along. Appreciate your daily company here on Faith Radio. Ryan, we're going to have a great show today. We're going to learn about POJA, which is not PB&J. Just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, well, it sounds delicious nonetheless.
Well, I know. I just wanted to, you know, I know you're thinking lunch, but this is not that.
So. Okay, POJA.
We'll get to that in a moment.
All right.
But I want to just mention, by the way, that we are ready to launch, starting next Monday, the Commit to Live Fit. Susie Larson did this here about a year ago, had just dozens of people involved. It's an opportunity to kind of just get back on track physically and spiritually. And we've got details on our website at myfaithradio.com. But Commit to Live Fit. When you sign up, you'll receive weekly email with a doable physical and spiritual challenge and encouragement to keep you going strong. So I just want to encourage you to check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, the more people involved, the better it is. I think.
Hundreds already on board.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Both of us could probably stand, I'm not speaking to you specifically. I'm just speaking in a general term that.
But I feel like Susie would be an excellent person to be leading that to because she can motivate you. I mean,
Indeed, I feel
motivated when she talks to me just about every day.
Well, you're going to be motivated today.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with sandwiches. So let me introduce today's guest. Really excited to have him in the studio. I've been a friend for many years and happy to have Dr. Willard F. Harley Jr. in studio today. Nationally acclaimed clinical psychologist, marriage counselor, best-selling author of a number of books, including His Needs, Her Needs, which should be must reading for every married couple and those thinking about it. 5 Steps to Romantic Love, Love Busters, Draw Close. There are several others. In fact, His Needs, Her Needs is available as a video curriculum for churches and small groups. He's got a website. And he and his wife Joyce do a regular radio program. And you can find out more about all that he does and the ministry at marriagebuilders.com, marriagebuilders.com, offering practical solutions to almost any marital problem. And today we're going to talk about the marital problems in a new book that he's just written called He Wins, She Wins, Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. So you ready?
I'm prepared.
All right.
Yes.
Bill, good to see you again. Thank you.
Good to be with you again, Neil.
And we look forward to a great hour ahead. On the back of the book and the back cover, it's an intriguing statement. It says, every conflict in your marriage is an opportunity to fall more deeply in love. And you read that and go, well, that can't be right. So explain that a little bit, Bill.
Now, we start with the premise that a man and a woman are meant to be together. And they're meant to be together for a variety of reasons. Of course, there's the business of having a family, raising children, supporting each other, encouraging each other. But one of the things that, as a psychologist, I have become increasingly aware of, and as a spouse, I am also increasingly aware of, is the fact that a man and woman complement each other. Now, you have to understand that men and women are very different. And this is a premise that I've had ever since the 70s when nobody believed that kind of thing. I taught physiological psychology, and I had the opportunity to actually bring to class an example of a male brain and a female brain. And you could see visually that they were different. And then when we got into the insides of the brain, you could see that the structures were different and that the way in which the brains functioned were different. The truth is men and women think differently. Now, God created men and women to be different for the purpose of complementing each other. His purpose of having a man and woman become one means that you become a new entity. As a husband and wife, you think together as a couple, and you bring something to the relationship that is different than what the other guy has. I often think of a man and woman standing back to back, and the man is looking out and says, "I see mountains." And the wife says, "But I see an ocean." And the question is, what's the truth? And the answer is that they're both expressing the truth, but they have a different perspective. And that's the way we have to look at the way in which a husband and wife see the world. They both see something that's real, and without the other guy, they're going to miss something. They're going to miss something that's real. So my comment that every conflict is an opportunity to grow more in love and to grow closer to each other means that when you have a conflict, it means that the other guy has information you need to know about in order to come up with a solution to a problem, a resolution to a conflict that is a wiser choice than what either one of you would have come up with.
And, of course, I mean, all of us that are in any kind of relationship at all, no matter what it is, know that there's going to be conflict over a variety of things. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk about some of those areas of conflict, whether it's friends and family or career or children or finances or sex or whatever it might be. But you set up in the beginning of the book. By the way, we got some copies of the book to give away as well. We've got three copies to give away, and would love to have you join the conversation. And maybe you've read some of Bill's previous books and like to just check in. You're welcome to call us at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. You can start queuing up now. We'll get to your calls as we go along. But right at the outset, you're talking about some of the ways in which we approach conflict. And you suggest that sacrifice in marriage is not ideal. And, you know, as Christians, we hear that and right. Go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. So talk about why sacrifice doesn't
start out
work.
Right out of the chute with a very controversial topic. And you have to understand the premise before we get to sacrifice, that if the other person has information you need and the other person is part of an entity, in other words, that you and your spouse are a unit, and you're not two individuals going separate ways. You're together. You're running a sack race. Both of you have a foot in the sack, and you got to be coordinated in order to get to where you want to go. The basic idea here is that the solution to a conflict, the resolution to a conflict, should work for both of you, because by doing that, you're going to be able to bring your wisdom to the issue and resolve the problem to your joint satisfaction. That's going to help you create a wiser solution. Okay, so I warn people to avoid win-lose outcomes, meaning that one person doesn't get what they want in the conflict. And there are several ways of doing that. One, the first is sacrifice, which is the way we start most romantic relationships. I think most of us, when we started dating, went out of our way to make sure that the other guy was happy. I know Joyce and I did that when we were dating. I tried very hard to make sure that Joyce was happy when we were dating. She did the same with me. And we sacrificed. And it kind of got the ball rolling. Both of us felt, oh, this guy's pretty good. You know, this is going to work. Very compatible. Well, we weren't being completely honest with the other person. When Joyce and I, after we were first married, I wanted to play tennis with her, which is what we did prior to our marriage. We played a lot of tennis. Well, she informed me that she didn't like playing tennis. And I thought to myself, what? You know, what else haven't you told me about yourself? And the point was that we had shifted from sacrifice, where you're not telling the person the whole story. You're just doing it to make them happy, but you're losing, to now that we're married, she says, I don't want to lose anymore. You know, now that we're married, I got you. And we're together. And I don't need to do something I don't want to do just to be with you. We can make this thing work between the two of us. And I think that what sacrifice is for, I'm willing to sacrifice for my children. I'm willing to sacrifice for people in Africa. I'm willing to sacrifice for people I meet from time to time. But in my relationship with Joyce, we're not willing to sacrifice for a very important reason, and that is that neither one of us wants the other guy to lose. And we want to be radically honest with each other. We want to be able to tell the other guy exactly what we're doing. So if I say to Joyce, Joyce, how would you like to do a particular thing? She's honest with me. And she'll say, no, I don't want to do that. And that doesn't mean she doesn't care about me. It means that as an entity between the two of us, we got to figure out how we care about each other. I want her to be happy, but she wants me to be happy. And she's not willing to let me lose so that she can gain. I'm not willing to let her lose for me to gain. Well, that eliminates sacrifice from our marriage.
Because over time, you begin to resent it, right? And she would begin to expect it, right? If it was always you, for example.
Yeah, basically, sacrifice is something that is very, very difficult to maintain. In other words, you can't keep doing this thing that you're not enjoying. And a lot of people make that mistake when they're first married. They try to do something they know the other guy doesn't want to, really wants badly, but they themselves don't want to do it. And they develop what is known in psychology as an aversive reaction. Now you hate doing whatever it is this other guy needs instead of coming to a solution to the problem where you enjoy doing what the other guy needs. It says in the scriptures, God loveth a cheerful giver, not out of reluctance or compulsion. I really believe that has to be the way a couple solve problems. In other words, that when they come up with a solution, it has to be with cheerfulness. I cheerfully enjoy doing this for you, not out of reluctance or compulsion. And by doing that, we're more willing to do what each of us needs the most.
We'll talk about a particular agreement that we're going to get to in a moment. Before we take a break, can you take a minute maybe just to touch on there's a couple other sort of win-lose circumstances, situations that we sometimes find ourselves in, and whether it's, you know, if it's not sacrifice, mm-hmm. we go another route.
Well, it starts with sacrifice. That's usually where the relationship begins, and we're willing to do things for each other without telling the other guy that we're really sacrificing. And then we get to capitulation, which is we tell the other guy, you know, I don't really want to do it. And the other guy says, yeah, but I really want it. And so you say, okay, I'll do it for you. That's capitulation. That's the next. And in a romantic relationship, usually you see the slide toward capitulation. In other words, I'm now telling the other guy I don't like it, but the other guy wants it, so we're going to do it. Then you have what I call the dictator strategy, where now if I say I'm not okay with this, I'm not going to do it, the other guy says, yes, you are. You're going to do it whether you like it or not. And dictators are very, very common in marriage. Basically, people are saying, I have the right to tell you what to do. You have the responsibility of doing what I tell you to do. From there, we go to what I call dueling dictators, where the other person says, no, you don't have that right, but I do have the right to tell you what to do. So we end up having a big fight with each of them trying to be dictators, trying to dominate the other guy. And every time any couple has a fight about anything, they are dueling dictators, okay? Then from there, you go to anarchy. Say, I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to go my way, do my own thing. And if you don't like it, you're just going to have to get used to it. So you start developing independent lives. These are all win-lose strategies that are very common. Everybody that has ever been married has done all of them from time to time. Now, what I recommend...
And we're gonna hold that held that thought.
We're not gonna
that's
recommend
the
tease. Anything.
We're gonna recommend it in a minute, because I think everybody's listening right now and go, well, I don't like that the option. I don't like capitulation. I'm not liking the dueling dictators. Anarchy is not what I want in my marriage. What can I do? There's an answer coming up in 60 seconds. You'll want to stay around for it as we talk more with Dr. Willard Harley. Bill Harley is author of the new book, He Wins, She Wins: Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. And you'll find the answer to this and other questions in just a moment. You're welcome to join us as well at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Maybe that you have a conflict in your marriage that you would like some specific advice on. We'd love to have you join the conversation with Bill Harley here today on Connecting Faith. 877-933-2484. More in a moment.
As parents, you always want to know what or whom is influencing your children. While most of us have a good handle on this in the real world, did you ever think about who could be influencing your child online? Zabra is a new way for you to protect and monitor your kids' influences while on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Zabra works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to alert you to potentially harmful conversations on social media. For more information, visit Zabra.com. That's Zabra.com to get started today.
Faith Radio's mission is to lead people to Christ and nurture you in your spiritual growth through Christ-centered media. We recently connected online with David from Bangladesh.
I'm so glad to have been introduced to MyFaithRadio.com. I like to listen to Faith Radio, which I get through this address online. It's my wish that God will expand His ministry everywhere in the world.
MyFaithRadio.com crosses borders and even oceans. Log on today at MyFaithRadio.com and join the conversation helping to spread the message of Faith Radio.
Talk to one another. We've got to learn to talk it out. We've got to know exactly what the other's about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father Abel, oh, we've got to learn to say it, just like Jesus always said it. We all need to say it.
We're learning the art of marital negotiation today. That's our goal. And thankfully, we've got some great insights from our guest today. The book is called He Wins, She Wins, Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. And it's written by our guest today, Dr. Willard Harley Jr., who is a clinical psychologist, marriage counselor, best-selling author, a number of books, His Needs, Her Needs, Five Steps to Romantic Love, Love Busters, and the new one's just got some great insight. We've been talking about the way that sometimes we handle conflict, and none of them very well, whether it's capitulation or dueling dictators or leading to anarchy. And so we want to get to win-win. And, Bill, how do we get to win-win?
Well, basically, the win-win means that you both have to agree. You both have a vote. There's no power struggle here. You have to work together toward achieving an objective that makes you both happy. I go with God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay, so we give to each other cheerfully, not out of reluctance or compulsion, which is what these other approaches will lead to if you let it happen. So I recommend the dictator. I'm sorry.
No, that's
the
yeah.
democracy yeah. strategy.
That was Joyce's yes, strategy. No, that was right. no. Sorry. No.
the democracy strategy, yeah. and of course Winston Churchill's famous quote saying that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other forms that people have thought of over the years, and I think that you have to look at the strategies that are common in marriage, and recognize that all of these win-lose strategies are worse than the democracy strategy, but the democracy strategy has its problems. And just like in our politics of democracy, it's hard for people to come to an agreement. And so it's very tempting. It's very tempting to dominate the other party, the other political party, or dominate the other person that doesn't agree with you and force your way. But what it leads to is resentment. And in marriage, it leads to solutions to problems that aren't very wise. And this is my basic point, that when you make a joint agreement with your spouse, you have a smarter agreement. But more important than that, you develop a love relationship. Basically, if you make decisions that both of you can be enthusiastic about, using my nomenclature, you are making love bank deposits into both love banks simultaneously. When you make solutions where I gain and you lose in my account, in your love bank, you're making withdrawals. So I if I want to stay in love with my wife, I have to make agreements that work for her. If she wants me to be in love with her, she has to make agreements that work for me. So that it's a very simple concept, very, very straightforward, and it's only a matter of figuring out how do you do that? How do you come up with win-win solutions? And that's what the rest of my book is about.
Well, and let's just say, just maybe define the, as we talked about, the POJA, because this is, if you get nothing else out of today's discussion, this could be really life-changing, as it has, I think, for many couples, because It really sets the right tone. Talk about the principle of joint agreement.
Well, it's a rule that tells you what not to do. Just like a speed limit on a highway, it says 55 miles an hour. You're not supposed to go any faster than that. The policy of joint agreement is a rule like a speed limit. It says never do anything without an enthusiastic agreement between you and your spouse. What that does is it eliminates all of the win-lose options in one fell swoop. Don't do anything unless you can enthusiastically agree. So what we're saying basically is that if one person is reluctant or you're doing it out of compulsion, you're not supposed to do it. Just like Christ says, just like the Bible says, unless it is with cheerfulness and eagerness, I don't even want it. And so the basic idea is, how do you do that? You just kind of force yourself? Do you put a smile on your face when you don't mean it? Nope, that would be reluctance and compulsion. So what you want to do is you want to figure out, how can I do this for Joyce and be enthusiastic about doing it? She wants me to do this for her. So how can this work? Well, then the two of us have to think it through, and we have to figure out a way in which both of us can be happy. Now, there are two kinds of conflicts. One is where I will ask her to do something for me, and she doesn't want to do it. She's not enthusiastic about whatever it is I'm wanting her to do. That's one kind of conflict. The other kind of conflict is something I want to do myself, and she didn't want me to do it. And so the one is I'm telling her what to do. I'm making a demand. That's one kind of conflict. I'm wanting her to help me with something, and she doesn't have time for it or something. The other is I want to go out and do something fun, and she doesn't want me to do that. That's the other kind of conflict. So there are two kinds of things that Joyce and I are not going to agree on. And as I've said many, many times, we say this on our radio show all the time, every hour Joyce and I are together, we have a conflict. Every hour. Now, we've been married 51 years, and we still have conflicts. So the conflicts never go away. But the conflict represents an opportunity for me to get to know something more about Joyce that after 51 years, I still haven't figured out. Or I've forgotten about,
sure,
which is more often the case.
Probably so, yes. Yeah. Well, a couple of minutes before the break here, you do give some ground rules for and guidelines for negotiation. Let's talk maybe just about a few of those, how we get started.
Yeah, basically you have to start with some. First of all, the goal. The goal is enthusiastic agreement. We're not going to do anything until we can agree. But we have to start with some basic rules, basic guidelines. It says we're going to be cheerful about this. The conversation we're going to have is cheerful. We're not going to threaten each other. We're going to make it safe. We're going to make it enjoyable. So when Joyce says, you know, we have a conflict here. We don't have an agreement. There's a sense in which both say, oh, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to get to know each other better. Here's an opportunity to come up with something wiser than what either one of us would have wanted to do. We don't make demands. We don't be disrespectful. We don't get angry. And if one of us gets upset, we take a break. We don't continue discussing it. The second guideline is that we are now going to try to understand each other. And if we have a conflict, the first thing I want to do as a human being is try to tell Joyce how I really feel. But the rule for successful negotiation says the first thing you should do is try to find out what the other guy's position is. So the first thing I try to do is understand Joyce. What I want to do is talk her into my way of thinking. Sure. But I have to restrain myself. I have to ask her, how does she feel? Now, she does the same thing with me. So we're both asking each other, how do you feel about things? That opens up the opportunity to tell the other person something that they want to hear. If you try to tell your spouse something without them asking you, how do you feel, they will resist you. They'll think you're trying to make them think a certain way. But if they ask you, how do you feel, they're open to the idea. Then the third is brainstorming. We've now come up with different solutions to the problem. I think of it one way, she thinks of it another. And so now what I do is, we got to let this thing incubate. We got to think of alternatives. And then finally, we arrive at the enthusiastic agreement, and we're done with that particular conflict for all time.
Good. We're going to talk more about how this works out, specifics, in just a moment. Love to have you join the conversation. Got some copies of Bill's book to give away. He wins, she wins. Our phone number is 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Listening to Connecting Faith, and we're learning how to negotiate. We're learning the art of marital negotiation so that, in fact, that we can fall more deeply in love, even though we experience conflict. And, you know, if your resolution of conflict is only coming in order to keep the peace, it's not a resolution at all. And we're hearing about that today with marriage expert Dr. Willard Harley. Bill is a nationally acclaimed clinical psychologist, marriage counselor, best-selling author, number of books. I want to encourage you, if you've never read His Needs, Her Needs, that would be an important one to add to your library. Five Steps to Romantic Love, Love Busters, Draw Close. The one that we're referencing today, is the latest, is called He Wins, She Wins. It's published by Revell. We've got some copies to give away as well. If you'd like to sign up, just give us a call, and we'll put your name in a drawing for that. And, of course, we'd love to have you join the conversation. If we talk about maybe some conflict in marriage, you can remain anonymous if you prefer. You can send something in online as well, myfaithradio.com, and then just go to the Connecting Faith show page, and you can just send an email link there. So we're talking a little bit about, you know, some of the basic guidelines that, you know, we're going to be cheerful, we're going to seek to understand, we'll do some brainstorming. This is all part of the policy of joint agreement, that you never do anything without the enthusiastic support of your spouse, which is a really important principle. But Bill, I'm wondering, what if you're not enthusiastic or you're indecisive? I mean, that you just kind of have a hard time making decisions or don't really care.
Well, there are a whole host of problems that couples face with democracy. And I mean, like, yeah. I say, democracy is not easy. It's not easy. And one of the biggest struggles for democracy in marriage is emotional reactions, that you bring up a conflict and your spouse bursts into tears. This is more common among women than it is among men, but men have reacted that way too. What I have used as a great example of how you need to overcome that particular problem is a woman that works with me, who is now a chief top executive in one of America's great companies. And she started out as a person who was in marketing, and she was able to work her way up to where she made a lot of marketing decisions with a bunch of men. So she comes to the boardroom with her idea of how this product should be marketed, and the men pretty much agreed that this idea wasn't going to work. She burst into tears. And all the men got up, and they came over, and they said, "Oh, we're really sorry. We'll give this more thought. We'll work on this. We'll figure out something." And she said, "Absolutely not. I do not want any of you doing that." I said, "I do not want to react this way again. If you don't agree with my idea, then I need to accept that reality and not get emotional about it. It's extremely important for me as a human being and as a woman, not to get emotional when my idea is not accepted." And so she went to work controlling her emotions when she was faced with rejection. As it turns out, that helped her move up the ladder. So now she's got a really wonderful position. And from that moment on, she has never become emotional when an idea of hers wasn't accepted. Now, people have to do that in their marriage as well. Somehow or other, you've got to rise above your emotional reaction to rejection. And so when your spouse says, "I don't like that idea," instead of bursting into tears and saying, "You know, you don't care about me. You don't think about me. I'm no one, nowhere to you." See, you have to think, okay, you don't agree with me. That means there's something I need to know about you. There's something I need to understand more about you. And maybe there's something more you need to know about me. Maybe we need to make this thing work for both of us. But if I get emotional, I'm going to wreck it all. So that's just one. Then there's the problem of a person just liking the status quo. Dr. Hartley says, don't do anything. Well, doesn't that mean we'll just stay with what we've got? No, I explained very carefully that not doing anything means not doing anything. So you don't continue with the status quo. As a matter of fact, you may decide that because we can't agree, I'm not going to work today. Because we can't agree on what kind of a job you have. And we can't agree on the travel that you do. And we can't agree on when you're coming home at night and the split shifts that you use. I mean, we can't agree on that, so we don't go to work. Now, it seems like an extremely radical approach to problem solving. But on the other hand, what it does is it motivates a couple to get the problem on the front burner. So we are now going to deal with this. Now, the other issue is maybe doing nothing is what the other guy wants. I want to do nothing. I like doing nothing. So Dr. Hartley's idea of doing nothing means I get to have my way. So I deal with that, too, in the book. I mean, there are all of these problems that come up, and they all need – you need a resolution. You need to come to some conclusion where both people are happy. If doing nothing is not supposed to be the solution to the problem. It's supposed to be what you do in the meantime while you've got a week to solve this thing. And little by little, you get to be really good at this sort of thing. And you get to think clearly about the conflicts that you have. And you have goodwill toward the other. You want the other guy to win. You want the other guy to win. And you develop empathy. You develop understanding of why the other guy doesn't like what you want. And you think about other ways of approaching the problem where they would like what you want.
Well, we mentioned kind of, you know, jobs and career, and we'll maybe touch on that as well because that's one of the chapters in the book. We're talking about the book, He Wins, She Wins, Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. But let's maybe talk a little bit about friends and relatives and just give us maybe an example and kind of how we'd work through some of those things because those seem to come up oftentimes. I want to hang out with my friends, you know, before we were married, I had all these friends, or, you know, let's go over to my, my parents for supper lunch every Sunday. So let's talk about friends and relatives. How do we work through some of those things?
Well, again, if you think of your marriage as an entity and the decisions that you have to work for both of you, what will happen is that the friends and relatives won't be more important than each other. The policy of joint agreement makes each of you your highest priority. So when your mother-in-law says that she's going to come over and visit, which you would be tempted to say, well, I guess this is something we have to do. But no, what you say instead is, well, I'll have to talk this over with my spouse. We will have to decide this, and then we'll be getting back to you. Instead of saying, yes, sure, come on over, we'll say, let me get right back to you. I haven't had a chance to talk to my spouse about this. And then when you talk to each other, it turns out your spouse is not willing to do this enthusiastically. And you say, well, I've read this book. Dr. Hartley's encouraging us to do these things. So what would you like to do? Well, I wouldn't mind if she were to come over, say, on Thursday night. But tonight wouldn't be a good idea because we got a lot of these other things already planned. And so what you do is you call up and you say, well, we've talked about it, and how would you like to come over Thursday night instead of tonight? That's the way you would approach all of your problems. You don't just unilaterally make the decision and then inform your spouse that that's what we're going to do. Instead, you say, let me get back to you. Let me talk to you about it later after I've had a chance to talk to my spouse. And then only if you have an enthusiastic agreement do you go along with your relative's plan or your friend's plan. Another thing we talk about is never having a close friend of the opposite sex. Just as a basic policy, because we deal with a lot of infidelity, and a lot of infidelity starts that way. It starts as a friendship. It just starts as an innocent friendship, somebody you just get to know well. But if they are of the opposite sex, they are in a position to meet important emotional needs for you. And you're going to find yourself really attached to that person, and it will threaten your marriage. So we just say, rule out close friends of the opposite sex. Now, you can have people that you are acquainted with, friends, but watch out for those friends of the opposite sex.
It kind of goes back to, and we, you know, maybe need to come back and talk about it on another show, just sort of the basics of the love bank, as you mentioned earlier about, you know, when you and Joyce got married. I mean, you played tennis a lot before, but then it was like you had to find something else to do. And that's really part of the love bank, isn't it, that you find things that you both really like to do, or friends, you end up making new friends.
Yeah, and I did a lot of shopping before we were married. I do less of that now.
Sure.
The basic idea is that we have to think now about what we enjoy as a couple, and we create a lifestyle. I often use the illustration of a house where the rooms are bare. And when you get married, basically the rooms are empty. And you have to start thinking about how you're going to fill those rooms. What kind of furniture are you going to have? So as you make lifestyle decisions about the friends that you are going to have, about the about the jobs that you're going to have, about the way you manage your time, about the way you manage your money, about the way you raise your children. Those are all like furniture in the various rooms. And you add those in with enthusiastic agreement so that when you walk in the house, you say, this is a great place to live. That's the way lifestyle turns out to be. Is this a great lifestyle for you? It can be if all the decisions you make jointly.
Because then you're building love in each other's love bank. Right?
Yeah. Just with the way you live. Just in the comfort of your own home, you're making love bank deposits effortlessly and endlessly.
Dr. Bill Harley is my guest today, and we're talking today about the new book, He Wins, She Wins, Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. Every conflict in your marriage is an opportunity to fall more deeply in love. We're talking about how that happens, and we're going to take a short break and come back and get to a few questions, and we'd love to have you join the conversation. We do have some copies of Bill's book to give away. We'd like to just sign up for that, or we'd like to just come on board and with maybe a specific conflict area and you'd like some advice on. You're welcome to call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can also connect with us via email, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page link. There's an email link there, and we'll talk more with Dr. Willard Harley, best-selling author and clinical psychologist, marriage counselor. By the way, his website's marriagebuilders.com. You should check that out, marriagebuilders.com. More with Dr. Bill Harley in a moment.
Are you struggling to keep up with your fitness plans for the new year? We want to help. Join us for Commit to Live Fit 40-Day Challenge as Susie Larson leads you down a six-week journey of faith and fitness. During these next few weeks, we'll focus on physical and spiritual steps to a healthier life as you commit to live fit. Sign up for free at myfaithradio.com. We start March 3rd. It's not too late to sign up for Commit to Live Fit 40-Day Challenge.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey, and we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Love is a fight. Is that what that is?
Love is not a fight.
Love is not a fight. Yes,
that's
the key, isn't it? Yeah, we've got plenty of fights. We're learning how not to. We're talking about He Wins, She Wins, Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. And it's written by guest today on Connecting Faith, Dr. Willard F. Harley, Jr., nationally acclaimed clinical psychologist, marriage counselor, and best-selling author. He's written, 10, 11, a dozen books or so. How many is it?
19.
Okay. He's written a lot of books, and they're recommended. You'll find great
Working
help there.
Working on 20.
Okay. MarriageBuilders.com is the website, MarriageBuilders.com. And we're taking your questions here at 877-93-FAITH. Melva just called in, left a note, said, thank you, Bill, for your counsel. We do thank you for that. Here's another question from a listener who didn't stay on the line. Says, how do you deal with someone who practices stonewalling? So you want to negotiate, your spouse doesn't want to.
Okay. The basic problem that people have with a spouse who really won't talk to you about the issue is that in past efforts, and basically in marriage, we don't start out that way. We start out willing to talk, and then you find that the conversation is terribly unpleasant. This is one of the reasons that the first guideline that I have is to make the conversation pleasant and safe. If you have a good time talking about a conflict, you're going to want to do it again. If the person is stonewalling you, it just simply means that they don't feel that discussing this is going to get them anywhere. And as a matter of fact, they're looking forward to a fight. And so they'd rather not have a fight. So what you want is X, Y, or Z. And they're saying, I know where this is going to lead. We're going to start talking about it. You're going to be telling me that you want this and that. I'm not going to be willing to do it. Then we're going to start arguing about it, and we're going to have a very unpleasant evening together. It'd be better for me just to not talk at all. So I would say that the solution to a stonewalling spouse is to make negotiation an enjoyable experience. And I have to say that it is a skill set. It is a skill set. You've got to work at this. It's like typing. When you first start typing, it seems terribly awkward and terribly unnatural, and it's something you'll never be able to learn. But you get to be it gets to be so automatic you don't think about it anymore. That's the way successful negotiation can work. So I would say that dealing with a stonewalling spouse, on little things that really don't matter a whole lot, you want to make sure that the discussion is pleasant. And then you can work your way up to bigger problems where you say, here's my problem. Now let's work together. Let's think together about how to work this thing out so that both of us can be happy with it. And then you want to make sure that you don't get emotional, which is something we talked about last time. So if your spouse is stonewalling you, maybe they're saying, I don't want you to get so upset that you're going to start crying, you're going to start getting angry, you're going to start threatening me. I don't want to get into that. So those are a lot of the reasons why people stonewall.
It sort of fits in, I think, maybe with Jason's question. Let's take that on line four, related. Jason, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Bill Harley.
Hi, Dr. Bill Harley. This is Jason.
Hi, Jason.
My question is this, is I've had conflicts where here's somebody else's perspective, and then when I share my perspective, it's totally shut down. And then I get upset because I think I just got done listening to what you think, and now I should have an opportunity to share my feelings on this. Or my position isn't even considered. And I don't know what to do with that.
I go back to the argument that negotiation is a skill set that very few people really know how to do in marriage. And even some of the really great negotiators in business don't know how to apply it in their marriage. So I would say this, that what I would highly recommend is that you get a copy of this book, and apparently Neil will send it to you.
Sure,
right?
We'll get you one.
He will send you free copy, complimentary. And what you do is you get your wife to read it with you. And the whole idea is to make the discovery of each other's position on this an adventure. So, in other words, your perspective isn't something that threatens her. Your perspective is something that will intrigue her and will say, oh, that's interesting. That's different. You know, now, how can we apply that perspective to a solution of the problem that would also fit my perspective? See, a lot of times the problem with negotiation is people think it's either or. So she thinks that this is what I really want. And you say, yeah, but my perspective is over here. And she says, well, then that means that I have to give up what I want. But you see, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. And so to the extent that she gets the impression that a different perspective doesn't mean that she's going to end up being unhappy. It just means that you got to be a little more creative in thinking about how to do it. The other point I want to make is that she didn't ask you for your perspective. See, what you do is you listen to her perspective, and then you say to her, do you want to hear my perspective? Well, she didn't say she wanted to hear your perspective. And so this is where she's got to somehow ask you, tell me what your perspective is. Tell me how you feel. And then she has to look at your perspective as wisdom, something that can benefit her. Now, she's not at that point right now. And I'm hoping that what I've written in this book could talk her into that, to talk her into having an agreement with you that would blend the two perspectives that you have.
Let's take a call from Moose Lake. This is Melva in line one. Go ahead. You're on with Dr. Bill Harley.
Well, hello, Dr. Harley. I want to say compliments to you. I read His Needs, Her Needs, thought it was the best book I'd ever read on marriage.
Oh, thank you.
I even recommended it to my sister who was having a cheating husband.
Ah.
And that was like in 2000. You gave her good advice, and she is still married to him.
Great. Good. Terrific.
So I really would look forward to reading that new book.
Good. Well, it will help you. You'll recognize a lot of the important key principles. Melva, thank you for calling and for listening. And that is recommended reading. His Needs, Her Needs has made a lot of difference for a lot of people. Bill, we had a caller, the question regarding a husband who is emailing girlfriends from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, how can I, as his wife, respond and ask him not to do this?
Well, again, in all the books that I write, I try to persuade people to follow certain guidelines, certain rules. And emailing a girlfriend from high school is something that is most assuredly violates the policy of joint agreement. If I can get a couple to come to an agreement on that rule, in other words, okay, from here on out, we will follow the policy of joint agreement. It's not going to be easy. And there's going to be a lot of situations where I'm just going to have to give up what I've been doing that I really enjoy. But we have to do things that are going to work for both of us. If I can talk her husband into that kind of a marriage, which I've set my life goal for doing. I mean, I want people to care simultaneously for each other. And he has to realize that every time he sends one of these letters, he's hurting his wife terribly. And he says, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to have an affair. I'm not going to do that. I say, yeah, but you're hurting her. You're hurting your wife. Well, she doesn't have any reason to be hurt. I say, yeah, but you're hurting her. She is being hurt. And if you were to stop emailing her, this other woman, you'd stop hurting your wife. Now, then he say, yeah, but I'm never going to be able to write her again. I'm never going to be able to see her again. Well, maybe so. Maybe so. But your marriage is going to be much better as a result. See, and so this is the basic problem that people have in marriage. They say they shouldn't feel the way they do. They should feel some other way. They should feel the way I feel. And you go down that particular path, and you're headed for marital disaster.
It's, again, sort of that zero-sum game, right? So, well, I'll do something that displeases you. You do something that displeases
that's
you.
A know, good, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, zero-sum games don't work in marriage.
Yeah.
They work in politics, or they... That's basically how it turns out in politics.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But in marriage, there
I think
are some
no, we
games
always.
Don't
I think we all lose in politics. That's how it works out. But that's what I think. Just to kind of keep highlighting that, yes, maybe you're getting love bank deposits with your friends, but if you have joint mutual friends together, then you're both getting love bank deposits and you're building love together.
And then there's also the fact that if you're not careful, another person can be making so many love bank deposits that you actually fall in love with that person. And when you fall in love with somebody, you become irrational. We talk about them being in the fog. And I've had pastors tell me that God is in favor of their affair because God is a God of love. And, of course, from an objective perspective, that's ridiculous. There's so much in Scripture against adultery, against infidelity. And yet the person will turn things and warp things to make the affair sound like it's reasonable because they're in love. And so I usually recommend don't let somebody – make love bank deposits. I talk about guarding your love bank from outside threats. So don't let somebody make those massive love bank deposits, because once you're in love, you have a dickens of a time getting rid of the feelings that you have toward that person and restoring the feelings that you have toward your spouse.
Now, I know the principle of joint agreement is that it has to be enthusiastic agreement. Now, maybe that you have to probably learn and try some new things, right? So, I mean, you may not know if you really like something. So there's some of that too.
And as a counselor, it's hard for me to give people ideas. What I've always been amazed at is how after they think about something long enough, they come up with something and say, hey, you know, that's really going to work. And from my perspective as an outsider, I can't see how it could possibly work. But they've been able to figure it out. And that's one of the reasons that I don't usually give people solutions to problems. They think about it themselves, they figure it out themselves, and then they come to an agreement that's unique for that particular marriage.
The book says every conflict in your marriage is an opportunity to fall more deeply in love, and that would be the goal of the new book, He Wins, She Wins, Learning the Art of Marital Negotiation. And Dr. Willard Harley is the guest. He is the clinical psychologist, noted psychologist, marriage counselor, best-selling author. Now 19 books, the latest, and you can find out more about him at marriagebuilders.com. And but just in 30 seconds, Bill, you got the radio program. There's a number of things going on at marriagebuilders.com, right?
We're doing a lot of things. If you're new to Marriage Builders, the first thing you should do is take the tour. We have a tour. You know what's there. Yeah. Next thing you want to do is get a summary of my basic concepts. Okay. Learn what I'm all about. And then use our search engine, and we can address just about every problem imaginable in marriage on that website.
Got some wonderful questionnaires and resources that would be available, just wonderful exercises that would really help you, and kind of summaries of some of the books. So, and check the latest one out, He Wins, She Wins, with Dr. Bill Harley joining us today. Bill, good to see you again. Thanks for coming
good
by.
Good to be with you, Neil.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. If you missed a part of today's broadcast, or you'd like to pass it on to a friend, you know, everything that we do, all our interviews are shareable, podcastable, so we get the podcast up after the show, and you just pass it on to a friend by going to myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And check out Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening.